You've heard the headlines. Get some perspective now with Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Hey, good morning and a happy Thursday to you. We're going to start the show off digging into the latest lawsuit, a lawsuit tied into the Hamilton High School hazing case.
The Lead, brought to you by Burge Ford off the US 60 and Mesa Drive.
All right, so the alleged victims in that Hamilton High School football hazing case have filed a lawsuit against the Chandler Unified School District, Hamilton High School staff, football coaches, and the accused students and their parents. Huh? Now, this is a civil lawsuit. Back in March of 2017, six Hamilton players were arrested, three charged on hazing allegations that included charges of sexual assault, kidnapping, an aggravated assault. The Maricopa County attorney decided not to file charges against the coaches and staff in this case, and hence the civil lawsuit that has now ensued.
Yeah, on some level, you have to accept that Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery looked at the evidence and said that they would not file charges because, again, you have to, if you understand how this works on some level, they didn't believe they could secure a conviction. They didn't have enough to reach the criminal level to get a conviction in this.
Right. And so at the time, Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery had said there weren't enough victims that came forward to make a strong enough case against the school administrators.
Didn't think he could win.
If more victims came forward, he would reopen the case.
All right.
So while the administrators in the school were not charged, there were three students who were charged, one as an adult. The two others were unidentified minors. We don't know what happened to the unidentified minors. That has been settled, but it's been adjudicated, so it's sealed.
Okay.
And so we don't know the outcome of those cases. The other student that was being charged as an adult, that is being prosecuted right now.
I don't mean to make any comparison other than understanding the legal system to a certain level. O.J. Simpson was found not guilty of criminal charges. He was found guilty of civil charges of the same issue, and this strikes me as the same, that the preponderance of evidence is lower in a civil case, and the civil case may have a better chance of winning where the county attorney felt that the criminal case couldn't win.
Well, the criminal investigation has a higher standard.
Higher standard,
yeah, than that of a civil one. Like you said, the mere preponderance of evidence is what you need in a civil case. It's much different than beyond a reasonable doubt for a criminal case.
And I will acknowledge that, you know, you hear about this story, you accept some of these things are true, that there was some sort of hazing or rituals that went on the football team, that some students were sexually abused, criminally hazed, if you will. Is the reason that this case didn't get the attention internally because the football program at Hamilton is one of the biggest and best football programs in the state of Arizona. Does this strike a little of like Penn State, where you have people who, while they may understand and acknowledge something went wrong, they don't want to be the one that brings down the institution?
Yeah, Hamilton High School football is a powerhouse in the state of Arizona.
If you don't pay attention to high school football,
I mean, it is the program that good football athletes want to play for. Mm-hmm. So they want to go to the best. So was there a concerted effort within the organization to protect the football program because they didn't want to deal with the potential fallout or the scar associated with it? And did they put that above students' well-being? That's what the case is going to determine.
And I don't know the answer to that.
No, I don't either. But the civil lawsuit could provide a platform for these players, as well as other students, to have their stories heard in a court of law. They didn't get that opportunity with the criminal case because the county attorney didn't move forward with at least the administrator's aspect of that.
I get back to it. It seems that if this were a different school with a minor I'm going to use the term, insignificant football program, that the school itself wasn't identified or on the map because of the championships that they've won. Would this case have been treated the same?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know.
I can't disprove the negative, but I think
that's an interesting point because, I mean, come on. The similarities, it's similar yet different. I got that. But between Hamilton High School football and Penn State football, Penn State a powerhouse when it comes to college football.
No doubt.
And there were allegations of sexual abuse. Obviously, it was with children in this case and the coaches and so on and so forth. But it appears as though the university want to protect the university over protecting the kids. I mean, if you boil it all down, that's what it came down to.
Yeah.
If those same allegations, football, were made at Gonzaga, would Gonzaga have handled it differently? Because Gonzaga's known for basketball, not necessarily football.
By the way, I don't even know if they have a football program. But yes, I understand where you're going.
But you see what I'm trying to... Same thing with Hamilton. Hamilton is Penn State. If there were another high school football team in the Valley that wasn't constantly going to the state championships, wasn't constantly having their players, you know, play for Division I teams, would it have been handled differently? It's sad to even think, but I understand where you're going with that.
The civil lawsuit contends that coaches and administrators conspired to not report sexual abuse to the police, did nothing to stop further abuse, nor did they punish the abusers or protect any of the victims.
This went on for years. Think about it. For years, folks. Think about that. Like, as a parent myself, I expect that when my child goes to school, they're safe. Yeah, there may be that comment from the kid in the lunch table that teases my daughter. Yeah, you know what?
Nice sweater.
Somebody may knock books out of someone's hands. And while I'm not trying to make light of that, you know, there are certain things that are going to happen at schools because, well, they've happened at schools from the beginning of time. But I don't expect my child to be sexually assaulted. And then if, God forbid, they ever were, you would expect the adult in this situation to step up and do the right thing. We constantly are telling our children, and we're trying, at least I am, to raise a child that is a leader, that does the right thing, even if it's hard. I have that same expectation with the adult that you hand them over to every single day. And if these allegations are in fact true, and there's some damaging evidence to support the fact that they are.
Yeah. Well, Chandler police thought there was enough evidence to move forward with a criminal case.
Then these adults failed these boys in ways that, like, aren't even going to surface for years to come. I mean, there's a lot of therapy that's going to have to go on
here. Well, and is it part of this, and I think this is what County Attorney Montgomery alluded to, are there more victims who are
afraid to come forward, ashamed, scared to come forward
and raise their hand, young boys, and say, I was sexually molested, assaulted, raped is one of the terms that's being used by other members of this football team as part of ritual hazing, and are they afraid to be the one to come forward?
And you could imagine that... You know, like you said, the shame that's associated with that, the keep your head down. You know what? It's something that happened in the past. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm just going to look to the future, not what happened in the past. Ignore, and pretend it didn't happen. You have to imagine that there are probably students out there that have no idea how to handle something like this because they shouldn't. Nobody should ever have to. And they haven't come forward. And those, you know, those are the kids that you got to be worried about as well.
Yeah.
So they don't want to go into a court of law. They don't want to be a part of all of this, right? Exactly. Like, I get it to a certain point, but I really hope that they're getting some help because, you know, this is serious stuff. And the civil suit is serious. Yes. We don't know how much they are, the unspecified, you know, amount of damages. But if you look at the notice of claims, there were five notice of claims were filed
kind of
back.
Before you get to the court.
It's a precursor to a lawsuit.
It basically gives the other party a chance to settle. Lets them know where you're coming from.
Right. If you look at those five notice of claims that were happening back in September, seeking a total of $44 million from Chandler Unified School District.
So, yeah, that's what it would take to, quote unquote, make this go away, I guess, on some level. And listen, you're innocent until proven guilty. I get all that. There is evidence. There are law enforcement that says they believe a crime was committed. It's what you can prove in court. But yeah, there seems to certainly be, when it comes around one of these football powers, people do tend to treat it a little differently. The Lead, brought to you by Burge Ford, off the US 60 in Mesa Drive, online at burgeford.com. Is marriage just not for you? Fear not, singles of the world. You can be a part of the newest trend. You can get married and not have to give up any closet space.
St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Now, you might be getting ready for the royal wedding this Saturday. But some people, I won't mention any names, don't believe that marriage is for them. Let me speak for some of these people, Pamela.
Yeah, some of them.
They allegedly,
St. James.
They don't believe in forever. How's that?
Oh, look at that. Well, boy, this is getting uplifting.
If you don't believe in forever, why make a promise that you have no intention of keeping?
Oh, unless...
Unless what?
You're into sologamy? I think that's how you say it.
I don't know what sologamy is.
Sophie Tanner just celebrated her second wedding anniversary this week.
Congratulations, Sophie.
2 years ago, her poor dad walked her down the aisle in public and gave his daughter away to herself.
Yes. She married herself.
Yes.
Instead of like monogamy, it's like solo.
Right.
Gimme.
I thought maybe it was
sologamy.
You got to marry Han Solo. But no, sologamy is... Yes, you marry yourself. Now, only if Facebook would allow you to do the in a relationship with yourself.
Well, what do I say when, hey, Bruce, you know, you talk about like, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
I say, Bruce, you're dating yourself.
I always say, I should be so lucky. I mean, I'm a hell of a catch.
Well, Bruce, I think that you should have a sologamy ceremony.
People like EJ Love, she married herself in 2016 on the beach in Australia.
She wore
a bright dress, walked down the aisle, and said her vows to herself in the mirror.
In the mirror.
I would so love to be there for that.
Listen, just to make fun of it alone.
We gotta do this for you.
No, we're not gonna do this for me.
You wanna marry yourself. I know you do.
You know what? Even I, there's days that I'd break up with myself. So let's not go too far. But I think some of this is. Can we play along with this?
What's that?
It strikes me that women are doing this more than men, from what I can understand. And it's because I think a lot of the pressure that you ladies feel that is put on you maybe by family or friends that you're supposed to be married.
Yeah, but I think that's
I feel
changing.
A lot less of that pressure.
I think that's changing.
I feel the opposite of that pressure. While there are women of a certain age that people look at them and go, "You're not married. You've never been married. What you're not, you know, who you get that all the time." My married friends all look at me and go, "What's it like? Seriously, tell me about it."
Erica Anderson, who of course lives in Brooklyn, also married herself. I think it's hard not to adopt whatever society's messages are. And I certainly think that one of the messages is you are not enough if you are not with someone else. Tanner says you can be more lonely in a relationship that's not functioning
that's
than
true.
Just being on your own. And a lot of people don't realize that. You can waste your life waiting for the one when you are the one yourself.
You are the one.
And gosh darn it, people like you.
Yeah.
I have no problem if you choose not to get married.
I appreciate that.
Okay?
Thank you.
It's not for everyone. I get it.
Most certainly
also,
not for me.
Like, if I believe in forever, so don't marry somebody if you just think you're going to be with them for a couple of years, like in a starter marriage.
By the way,
I'm not into that either.
I agree.
Okay, there you go. So unless you're willing to say forever.
And I'm not.
And I do think I do recognize that things happen that you should get out of a bad relationship, but it's not one of these like I just kind of feel like getting married.
I don't buy into the fairy tale.
Let's have a party because I kind of like this guy and I'm feeling my clock tick. No, that's not cool. But to go to the length of getting a white dress,
literally
walking down a beach
like
in
there's an
Australia,
aisle. There's an aisle.
Having your dad, oh my
dad,
goodness.
Your poor dad, as it was said. Your poor dad has to walk you down the aisle.
I'm trying to think of like how this would sound if
so,
I went to Frank.
Frank.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Good news.
Good news.
Well, he would be like, to who? If that because like, if you're not dating anybody.
Right. I mean, you'd say to who.
Hey, Dad,
say,
I got a favor to ask.
Well, it's somebody that I know you already like.
You love.
As a matter of fact,
all of
you
your
love
heart.
Them.
And I think that this is going to be a very special union, and I want you to take part in it.
I think it's forever.
So I hope it's forever.
There are some schizophrenics out there that
I really would love, it would mean nothing more to me, Dad, than if you would do me the honor of walking me down the aisle.
Walking me down the aisle.
Wow, you're getting married. Who's
tears,
lucky?
There's
God,
hug,
holy
there's
cow.
Hugs, there's hugs and
no, Dad, no. I want you to walk me down the aisle so that I can marry myself.
Frank would look at you and say,
You've lost your ever-loving mind.
Get out of my face right
no,
now.
No, he would say, you need to leave Arizona and come back to Pittsburgh. What are they doing
you
to you out life. There?
What are they putting in the water? What are they putting in the water?
What I would say is, Dad, I want to marry myself. You know, sologamy, I'm into it. And guess what, Dad? It could always be worse.
Sologamy may sound silly, but it could be worse. One woman in England married a rock. No, not Dwayne Johnson. A rock in her garden.
Yeah, that is definitely worse. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. It's definitely worse to marry the rock in your garden. Marry yourself before the rock. If those are your two options. A
Bruce,
garden rock
think,
or yourself.
Okay,
Pick you.
I'm going to work with promotions here
because I think
we need to have a sologamy ceremony.
Honestly, though,
for Bruce St. James, we're gonna invite some listeners.
But listen, I'm
and
honest.
We're gonna have you recite your vows to yourself in a mirror, and we're gonna have a good party for you. What do you guys think? Would you come to a sologamy ceremony for Bruce St. James? Give us a call on the open mic line 602-200-2733. Would you go? And would you buy him a gift, too? Because he likes presents.
I do like
602-200-2733. We're kicking around throwing a sologamy ceremony for Bruce St.
Like
James.
A plate
would
of
you
chicken
attend?
Nuggets there. No, because there's plenty of days when I'd want to divorce myself. That's part of the problem. I go, you know what? You need to get out of here. Yeah, I'm stuck. Exactly. That's even
worse.
There's
a lot of married people that feel stuck. They're like, hey, welcome.
Why should you get off the hook? Exactly. Exactly. Why should you not feel the same pain we do? Marry yourself! Why do people think it's okay to be disgusting, hurtful, and just plain ignorant in public? More instances of that, and we'll show you some of them coming up next.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Okay, I think it's fair to say, Pamela, that there have always been mean, disrespectful, racist, bigoted, ignorant people as long as there's been people, okay?
Fair enough.
Is it the age of the cell phone and videoing everything that exposes them more, or are they feeling more emboldened that their beliefs and views deserve to hear the light of day and they stand in the middle of public places and scream nonsense?
Well, I agree with you that those type of people have always been around.
They're not new.
I will say that I have heard or witnessed personally individuals that feel empowered to have those beliefs out in the open more so today than, say, 5-10 years ago.
Okay.
All right. So is it happening more often? I feel like it is.
But are we just seeing it?
Well, I mean,
it could be,
but you also have to look to your own experiences.
Sure.
And I've heard people make comments now that I've never heard them make before. Now, I'm not saying that they're anything new for them. They've probably have felt that way for quite some time. They just feel like it's okay to share those thoughts now.
Yeah.
Whereas before, they may have just kind of whispered them to other people that felt the same way.
We have an example of it, and it comes from a Manhattan attorney. Okay. Aaron Schlossberg. And Mr. Schlossberg went to a restaurant and
he was getting a salad at Fresh Kitchen.
Fresh Kitchen.
I mean,
like
come
a lovely
on.
Place in Manhattan. And apparently overheard some of the staff, kitchen workers, employees speaking Spanish to
one
another.
And here's what happened.
Yeah.
Your staff is speaking Spanish to customers when they should be speaking.
Very violent. I mean, sometimes they do.
Every person I listen to, he spoke it, she's speaking it. It's America.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. It is
America.
It is America. But how do these individuals speaking Spanish impact you?
My guess is they're not documented. So my next call is to ICE that each one of them get out of my country. If they have the come here and live off of my money, I pay for their welfare. I pay for their ability to be here.
We are making some huge leaps
here.
He's
going to call ICE. They're undocumented, and he's paying for their welfare. Which,
in
by the way,
my country.
In my country. By the way, they're working. They're anyway, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah.
This is all, and he knows he's being videoed, recorded, filmed. He's literally standing in the middle of a restaurant at lunchtime.
Because of people like you, our nation.
Honey, I'm calling ICE.
ICE.
Maybe you shouldn't eat that sandwich today. Take a break from the food.
Wow.
And then he called her fat.
Okay, wow. Like, there's so much to dive into there. So we've got this guy in a Manhattan deli complaining that some of the workers are speaking Spanish. Okay, I'm sure this isn't your first time in a deli in New York or anywhere for that matter.
He probably was having a pastrami sandwich with a side of sauerkraut, some pierogies, and some other immigrant food while he was at it.
But it's one of those things where America is a melting pot.
New York City?
Yeah, right? You are making some tremendous leaps and generalizations here, but it didn't just happen at a deli.
No.
You also have this guy at a coffee shop.
Okay. I said, is this Halloween or something?
Why did you say that?
Why would I? Why wouldn't I?
Why would you say that?
Because I want to.
Why? What's wrong with me?
I don't know. Well, you tell me what's wrong with you.
Do you know I'm a Muslim?
Yeah, I do.
What's your problem with that?
I don't like it. How's that?
Why?
I don't like that because I don't like your religion and it says to kill me and I don't want to be killed by you. How's that?
She was wearing the face covering. It's not a hijab. Is it niqab? I want to say, and I apologize if I do it. She's wearing the face covering, a Muslim woman, at a coffee bean, standing in line to get coffee. And this guy starts in on her. What is it, Halloween?
Here's the thing. If you feel that way, that's a you issue, okay? And, you've got to figure out why you feel that way. And you can feel however you want. I may not agree with it, but you are entitled to feel however you want.
Yeah, be an idiot. Be my guest.
Why do you feel it's necessary to put another human being down? Put another person down because they speak Spanish. Why? Because you feel like you're better than they are?
It's your insecurity.
To put a woman down because she's Muslim and you don't agree with her religion? And
you don't
again,
have to like
the generalizations of I don't want your people to kill me.
Right.
Good night. It's the level of ignorance that I'm hearing in these two videos that is just astonishing.
Here's what I liked about both of these. You had the idiots at the middle, but you had people, customers, other customers, and you had the management of the restaurant and the coffee shop stand up to this piece.
Here's what it sounded like when the manager at the coffee shop stepped in.
Why are you not serving him?
Because he is disrupting a public place and being very racist.
So the manager explained why she was not going to serve that man.
They kicked him out.
You know what? And that's a good thing. Okay, so while we're talking about these negative stories, and man, are they negative, we're also finding the silver lining to them. And that silver lining is, yes, people like this exist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about them. But let's also talk about the people who stood up and did what was right by not serving somebody.
Well, not
like
just that these people, again, they have a right to be ignorant, bigoted, racist, whatever they are. I will defend their right to be an idiot. They don't have a right to anonymity. The guy in New York, the one who threatened to call ICE on people because they were speaking Spanish and said he was paying for their welfare and, oh, by the way, you're fat. We know his name. He's an attorney. And he's, I'll use the term, suffering some sort of notoriety, not for the good reasons, because of this. I have zero problem with that. You have every right. No one stopped your freedom of speech. You demonstrated and loudly demonstrated your ignorance in public. And now we know who you are and you suffer because of it. That's your problem.
So Bruce asked a question earlier in the segment here about, are these things happening more or are we just seeing them more because of the videos? And why do people feel emboldened, empowered to spew this kind of hate publicly nowadays? Would love to get your thoughts about this on our open mic line, 602-200-2733. It's open 24/7. We give you 24 seconds to sound off. 602-200-2733, brought to you by Carol Royce.
When you're not listening to KTAR. You listen to some music? Have you noticed that sad songs are on the rise? The tempo is on a bit of a downturn. You're not alone. We'll get into some of that. Coming up next from Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
So there is a science to music, Pamela. Whether you know it or not, people that, you know, music for a living, record labels, radio stations, etc., have metrics where you can take a look at music. And you look at things like tempo, you look at things like, I call it mood, might be a way to, we used to code songs by mood. And a new report from the Royal Society Open Science, researchers at the University of California, Irvine, looked at songs and are noticing a bit of a trend.
Oh, because these sad songs say so much. Ha! And what we find out is they're saying a lot these days because we're hearing more and more sad songs on the radio.
Sad songs.
They actually have, what is it called here? They've got the happiness index.
Okay.
And and what we're finding is that the happiness in songs is decreasing.
Okay. Songs are getting sadder.
Yeah. If you look at the successful songs of 2015, they were sad. If you look at the successful songs of 1985, they were happy.
All right.
You want an example?
Yes.
2015.
Oh, won't you stay with me?
Okay, Sam Smith, Stay With Me, was among the list of songs with a very low happiness index.
Like breakup songs. And
it's a good song, don't get me wrong. I like the song.
Not the quality we're talking about.
But it's... it's slower, it's sadder as far as the content is concerned.
Yeah.
And the speed doesn't really dictate the happiness of a song, because when you look at other songs, there's a lot of danceable, party-like songs, you know, kind of like how we want to just boogie our way into the apocalypse. But here's a little bit of an example of how, you know, fast songs can also be kind of sad. Okay, that's not the one I was thinking of. The radio version of I Took a Pill in Ibiza to Show Avicii I Was Cool. And then it goes on. And it's kind of a sad song there. But that's one that's usually more of a danceable kind of track. Now, you put this against the successful songs of 1985. And you got things like this.
So there is a theory out there. And again, there is some data behind it, and I can hearken back to my days in music radio, that when things are going well, talk about the economy, the mood of the nation, whatever, however you want to define it like that, things are on the upswing, songs tend to go on the downswing. And when things are difficult, economic collapse, recession, war, whatever, songs tend to be more uplifting and positive. That the songs tend to be an opposite reflection of what's really going on. So if things are getting better out there, for the most part, I mean, a lot of the indicators say things are getting better out there, is that the natural part where then songs can get into kind of more of a introspective, moody, little more...
Yeah. Another song that's high on the happiness index from the 85. And this song, too, is a little bit different, because researchers also found that the maleness of songs.
Maleness.
Yeah, like the amount of guys singing out pop music.
A lot of dudes in it. Yeah.
That also has decreased over the last 30 years. A lot of the successful songs today are more women than ever before. Isn't that kind of cool? For us ladies, it is.
Well, it is. And again, I get back to, believe me, all I used to do is research on music. And we learned, can I tell you something that you may not know about yourself? And this tends to ebb and flow. For the longest time, women they scored songs with other women singing worse than they scored songs that with men singing. So if you were a radio station trying to appeal to women, you had a higher percentage of songs sung by male lead singers.
Well, I got a new one for you.
A new one?
A new one just released yesterday.
New song.
Do you have any idea who this is? It's not necessarily a group from today. We got to harken back to, goodness, this would be like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Backstreet?
Nice! Yes!
Really? I honestly had no idea.
It's like their newest song. I don't think they've released one in like about 5 years or so.
The world wasn't exactly clamoring for new Backstreet Boys songs. That's why.
Oh, wow, you're a hater.
Hey, I didn't like them when they were around.
Next you're going to tell me you didn't like New Kids on the Block either.
Let's not get into that discussion. I almost got into a fight with one of them.
With Backstreet Boys or with New Kids
Literally
on the Block?
Can't remember. I couldn't tell them apart at the time.
I got
to
know. Wait, what's the story?
No.
Oh, come on. You can't tell
Which
me that.
Which one was JC in?
That's NSYNC, buddy.
Oh, okay. That's
You're totally off the map.
I got into a pushing match, shoving match with JC.
With JC?
Yeah.
I think you could take on.
I certainly alluded to the fact that I could.
I can only imagine the words that were exchanged between Bruce St. James and JC.
I was wearing a tuxedo at the time.
NSYNC.
How bad is that? I was at a black tie event.
Way to keep it classy, buddy.
He started with my thing. He started it. I was perfectly okay with it.
Hey, life is a highway.
I've heard that before. Not the Tom Cochran version.
No, this is the better version.
Ouch. No. Songs are getting sadder, though.
And
I think if you're in a good mood, you can handle it. It's okay. Hey, check the headlines on the way. Remember the school resource officer in Parkland, the one who didn't do his job? Well, you're about to dislike him even more after we tell you the latest coming up next.